All right, we're going to continue our series this morning called Big Words. It's the words in the Bible that we often skip over. We're reading, and we don't have all day to read, so we read and we come to a big word, and we're like, I think that sounds, you know, I think probably I know what that means. Let's move on. And so this month, this message series is about kind of digging deep into some of those words. One of those words last week was the word justification, and how when we stand before God, it's a word used in the courtroom. You are, not only are you not guilty, you are declared righteous. It's God saying, I'm taking your sin out and I'm putting righteousness in. It's to put us in right standing with God, to justify us. It's as if God said, you never sinned before. As we stand before him, he looks at us and he says, I don't even remember your sin. I'll never remember your sin against you again. The word I want us to dive into this morning is the word regeneration. Regeneration. Now, this is an interesting word because it has a very simple definition. It just means to create again. To create again. Titus chapter 3 says this, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm going to create in you something new. I'm just going to create you again. He gives us this picture of starting from scratch. Some of us brought God such a pile of garbage, and he's like, I can't even do anything with this. Let's just start over. Let's just create you all over again. That's the picture that he takes us. He salvages us. We know that. But it's really a picture of him starting brand new. Now, I want to try to explain this by using, let's just start here. Have you ever done anything that you knew you were not qualified to do? Maybe you were applying for a job and they ask you, do you know how to weld? And you're like, I sure do. You never even seen a welder. And the first time you're like, yeah, okay, you're not qualified to do this job. Or, hey, do you know how to do electrical work? And you're like, I've been dealing with electricity since you don't tell him, it's like, I know how to plug in video games. I mean, we sometimes do this. When I was in college, my roommate and I decided we didn't have any money, and we were broke. And I already had a job at Domino's Pizza that just wasn't getting it done, you know? And so we put an ad on Facebook Marketplace, all right? And so, some of you just took that for the truth, like, that sounds logical. And the ones of you that are my age, like, we didn't even have Facebook Marketplace. You're like, he's lost his mind. There's no way. Yeah, there was no Facebook Marketplace when I was in college. Let's just say it, all right? We put an ad in the newspaper. This big. I remember it cost $15 to put like 15 words in there. And we didn't even have $15. And we're like, let's put an ad in the newspaper that says, we will rake leaves. And so we put our phone number in there. It was the phone, you know, that hangs on the wall and had the cord. And yeah, all right. No cell phones. You had to be home to get this one. I think it was even, anyway, it was a long time ago. So we get a call, and the lady says, I need my leaves raked. And this is in the mountains of Tennessee. And they got just truckloads of leaves in every yard. And so we go up, and we're trying to act like we've done this before, you know, trying to act like businessmen. And we're college students, and we don't know what we're doing. And we kind of, you know, we consult together, and then we say, well, how about $30? And $30 is a lot of money to us. And so the lady was like, you know, absolutely. When can you get started? And we're thinking, oh, we didn't charge her enough. You know, that was too fast. But here's what we knew that she didn't know. She said, when can you get started? And we said, we can start today. And then I had to say, it was my job to say to her, can we borrow your rakes? I felt, listen, you don't have to be really qualified to rake leaves, but you do have to have a little bit of qualification. And so she very kindly said, absolutely. And so she let us in her garage and use her equipment to rake her yard. And then we went, took that money, and bought us some rakes so we could get to the next yard. All right? Now listen, our lives are full of that kind of stuff, where we are in over our head from the minute we start, where it's bigger than us from the beginning, that we don't have the ability to do it, and yet there we are trying. A perfect scripture that explains this on a big scale is Matthew 16, 25. It says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Now, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. This word life in the scripture is the word, the Greek word psuche, which is the word where we get, the word we get psyche from, psychology. That's where we get this word. It just means life. It means breath. It's your soul. It's a person's distinct identity. It's a unique personhood. It's an individual personality. So he's saying, if you try to hang on to your individual personality, your soul, the breath that I breathed into you, if he said, you try to hold on to your old identity, you're going to lose it all. But if you give up your identity, then you'll be saved. He's saying, look, you're going to have to let go of everything that makes you you. Now, you're going to have to love me after this because this is going to sting a little bit. He said, you're going to have to give up everything that makes you you if you're going to follow me. It's the same principle where in the Old Testament, Genesis 2, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living being. God created us. He created us uniquely, every one of us. He created us, the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully. He made each of us. He created only one of you. There's only one of you. Somebody might beside you might be saying, thank God, just one. We only need one of them at our house. He only created one. Anytime, this is important, anytime there's only one of something, it is very, very valuable. If there's only one, it's limited edition, it's extremely valuable. There's a painting by Leonardo da Vinci called The Salvator Mundi. It's a picture of Jesus, which all respect to Leonardo da Vinci, but I think Jesus looked happier than that in real life. All right, okay. But he's got this orb in his hand. It's a crystal orb. And Leonardo da Vinci was saying that Jesus is the Savior. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's holding it there. He painted that in about the year, somewhere around 1500. So it's over 500 years ago he painted this painting. In 2017, this painting is one of a kind. It was sold for $450 million. Now listen, I love Jesus. Well, that's a lot of money for one painting. But it's priceless, really, because there's only one of a kind. Now, sometimes when there's just a shortage of something, it gets a little tense and people start fighting over it. Now, look at this next one. Uh-huh. For all the old people in the room, you might remember the shopping wars of 1996. Yeah. Trying to get that Nintendo and trying to get Tickle Me Elmo caused a lot of people a lot of fights. There were fights. People got trampled. This was before we ordered everything online, right? This was brick and mortar stores were doing real good. You had to line up before daylight. Some of you crazy people got there at 3 o'clock in the morning so you could get a Tickle Me Elmo for $27. There were fights all over the country. People got killed trying to get in to get items that were on sale. They finally realized we can't trust people when there's a sale. They quit doing that. T- Tickle Me Elmo sold for about $27. And on the resale market, it sold for $1,000. And here's what tickled me. I'm not going to play it for you, and I'm not going to sing it for you. But he just giggled a little bit. That was it. He's just, there wasn't much to it, but people were fighting over it. So going back, he said, if you fight for your life, your suke, your psyche, your soul, if you fight for your earthly identity, you're going to lose it. But if you give it up for me, you'll save it. Because you're one of a kind, there's this fight going on. So here's the deal, Matthew 16:25 again. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. There's a battle going on. There's a fight happening. We can only use, now you and I can only use human means to save ourselves. These methods are carnal and finite. We can only do so much to save ourselves. And then the Bible says we start to lose ourselves. We search for meaning and identity. We attempt to find ourselves through human means. That's a big one, right? I'm going to find myself. And the Bible is telling us, quit trying to find yourself and start trying to find Jesus. If you try to find yourself, you're going to lose yourself. To look inward is an attempt to find fulfillment. When we look inward and try to find fulfillment, we only start to indulge the desires we already have. Looking inward is a dark place without Jesus. And some of us are constantly pushing and looking inward, and we want something to change. And humankind in the Old Testament or in the New Testament was this battle between body and spirit over our soul, our suke, our life, our identity, our body, the temporary man, earthly things. It's fighting to pull us one way, and the spiritual, the eternal, is trying to pull us the other way. And we're in this battle, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, let's look at it, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's this battle going on for our souls. The scripture is saying that if I attempt to become more of me, then I lose all of me. If I attempt to protect my identity, then I lose all of me. When I attempt to find my identity in me, I lose what it means to be me. I lose my connection to God. We spend lots of time talking about what we as individuals want, and we realize, without even realizing it, we attempt to make the world revolve around us. We go to God and we say, God, I need you to do this for me. And God's like, you should probably ask me if I want to do that first. I remember one time I was praying about something. I already made up my mind what I wanted, and I was praying about it. And I was like, you know, how are we going to do this? I'm working it all out in my head. I'm making plans, and I'm praying that God would just get on board with my plans. Now listen, I'm not big on saying God spoke to me, but that night I felt the Spirit of the Lord kind of quicken me. I felt as if the Lord said to me, did you even ask me if this is what I wanted? And I stopped long enough to quit being selfish and just said, Lord, is this what you want? And I felt him say no. I was like, oh, man. This is such a good idea, Lord. Just come on. I got an idea of where we ought to go. Follow me. And that's not what he said. He said to us, you're going to have to deny yourself and follow me, is what Jesus said to us. We spend lots of time talking about what we as individuals want. Without realizing it, we attempt to get God to follow us instead of us following him. We say things like this, my behavior is not a problem. Can we just get real honest? I don't have a drinking problem. I can quit anytime. And people around us are going, that's not what we see. That's not the way we see it. So I'm defending myself, and you say, I don't even want to be around those people because they're always so negative. Every time I get around them, they're trying to help me and change me. We just defend ourselves and defend ourselves and defend ourselves. We're trying to defend our earthly identity. This is what I'm doing to make me feel better. Jesus said, if you want to lose your life, then try to keep it. But if you want to gain your life, you're going to have to lose it. You're going to have to lose your earthly identity and start to follow me. When I attempt to become a solo act, when I attempt to do things my way, when I attempt to separate my behavior from God's commands, then I'm doing exactly what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. It says this: they traded the truth of God about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. He said, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Romans, one of the more advanced civilizations on earth at that time. And he says to them, people have started to worship the creature more than the Creator. It's as if he's painting us the picture of walking in front of our mirror at home and just worshiping at our own image. And God is saying, I created you. I got a plan for you. I want to do something in your life, but you're so busy worshiping the creature, the one I created. You're looking at yourself in adoration and you're defending yourself and you're worshiping your own image so much that you won't let me work. And I got a better plan. You ever say to your kids when they're little, no, we're not going to do that. That's dangerous. We're not going to do that. And they're like, they want it and they push it and they push it. But as a parent, you know that's not what is best for them. It's what God is saying to us. When we argue for our personal choices and our own desires, we're attempting to save our lives and save our identity, our earthliness at the expense of our soul. I told you it's going to be heavy. If God were to offer you the riches of Jeff Bezos this morning. Feels good so far, right? But you know I'm setting you up. All right. God walked in here this morning and said, look, here's, I don't know how much, $500 billion, whatever the number is. I'm gonna make you as rich as him. I'm going to give you the athleticism of Michael Jordan in his heyday. I'm going to make you as beautiful as, you fill in the blank. I'm going to give you the fame of the most famous rock star in history. And you get to enjoy this. You're the richest, most athletic, best looking, most famous person on earth. And you get to enjoy this for 1 hour and then you die. I mean, listen, I'd like to be rich and I love Michael Jordan. And being a little more handsome wouldn't hurt, all right? But all that, but for 1 hour, not a chance. Life is way bigger than that. I'll just stick with what I already got. I'll just continue going in the direction I'm going. None of us would take that deal. And yet some of us in life are trying so hard to make our earthly life look like we want it to look away from God. We're spending so much energy and so much time working on something that is so finite. If you get 100 years on this earth and you get everything you want out of it, it's still a losing proposition if you don't have Jesus. You can try to gain the whole world. You can spend so much time building an identity of who you are here on earth. Mark 8:36 says, and what would you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? We have to recognize our need for a Savior. We got to recognize our need for a Savior. Matthew 16 says, again, we're going back to our original verse. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. It's a paradox. A paradox is when two opposite things that seem impossible are really true. Like, that could never go with this. You can't give up your life and save it. It's a paradox. And Jesus said to us, it's a true paradox. You're going to have to give up. If I have the mindset of saving my life, it's self-defeating. John 3 says this. It's a beautiful story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He had a great earthly identity, but he knew there was more. He'd been working and building this identity. He'd been working and building up his reputation. And he comes to Jesus and he just knows something's missing. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to Jesus because he didn't want anybody to see him. I'm going to come talk to Jesus after dark. He came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus went on to say, but how can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus was like, hey, come on. You're smarter than this. Quit playing dumb with me. Go read it later. And he explains to him repeatedly and in different ways, you are going to have to be born again. What he was saying is you're going to have to be regenerated. I'm going to have to create you all over again if you want a relationship with me. And I want to work in your life. If I hold on to my life, if I hold on to what I have now, then I'm choosing to let go of what God has for me. We're in a fight for our lives here. There is this body and spirit thing going on. There's this earthly and heavenly fight going on for us. And we have to have him so that our lives can be regenerated and created new. Regeneration happens after we struggle to save our lives, after we've tried to preserve ourselves, and we've tried to do it on our own. Regeneration is not just God saving our lives, but it's God giving us a brand new life. Regeneration is being about being born again all over. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. No, listen. The old life is gone. Anybody here in here have an old life? Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah. We're not going to talk about that right now. You know why? Because a new life has begun. Amen. We spent so much time trying to make our lives into something, only to find out that we were losing it anyway. Ephesians 2 says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You were dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. Can we just, listen, that first line sounds like an opening line from a CSI episode. It's like, well, he's dead. What do you think killed him? His transgressions and sins. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. All of us also lived among them at one time. He's saying you were just in a crowd of people just like you, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We deserve to die, is what he said. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. He said, when you were dead, he made you alive. You know why? A dead guy cannot keep working on his identity. A dead guy can't keep trying something. He finally realized, I got nothing. It's over. I've given it everything I got. I'm dead. Where do you find your identity this morning? Do you find your identity in your job? Do you find your identity in some habit, some addiction? Do you find your identity in your physical appearance or your sexuality or your accomplishments or your finances or your career? Where do you find your identity? Or are you looking for your identity in God? Are we looking for our identity in Jesus? What happens when God creates us again, regenerates us, is that we start producing fruit in our life. Our lives start to be, people walk up to us after we've surrendered our lives to God and they go, something's different about you. You're not as angry anymore. You know, you don't have some drugs in your back pocket like you used to? I mean, you were my guy back then, and now I don't. What happened to you? What's going on? There's a change. Your life starts to produce fruit. Ephesians 4 and 30 says this, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, watch this, remember he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Here's what Jesus did. Here's what God did. He allowed us to be adopted into his family as sons and daughters. He's like, I want you to be a part of my family. I'm going to identify you from this point on as mine. He says to create us out of a dead man into a living man. If you were raised, come on to the piano, somebody. If you were raised from the dead, let's say you got killed today. You're not, okay. This is not an object lesson we're going to go through with this morning. All right? Let's just say you died this morning. And someone, you died, and then Jesus walked in here. I mean, the smiling Jesus, not the one we looked at on the picture wall. He walks in here, speaks the word, and you are raised from the dead. Now, I don't know exactly where you've been for a few minutes that you've been gone, but all of a sudden you've been raised from the dead. When you walk out of here today to go eat lunch, I don't think you're going to meet the waiter and go, let me tell you about my job. Let me tell you about my accomplishments. Let me tell you about my sexuality. Let me tell you about my finances. Let me tell you about how great I am. I think you're going to lead into that conversation with, have you ever heard about Jesus? I met him personally this morning. Maybe you've already seen it online. Maybe the social media posts, you've already seen it. I was the guy that was dead. It's not going to be, here's my job, and you should respect me, and you should be impressed. You're going to say, I was the guy that Jesus raised from the dead, and as you can tell right now, I'm alive. I was dead a little while ago, and I'm alive. Here's what happens. There's no spin. There's no PR. It comes from the heart. When I recognize that Jesus took a mess and turned my life around, I want to honor him. I want to take on his identity. When somebody raises you from the dead, you live the rest of your life trying to honor that person. You just want to say thank you for the rest of your life. And Jesus said it. We say it all the time around here. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It'll just overflow from our hearts. We're going to get it wrong sometimes, and we're going to talk about that word next Sunday. Sometimes we're going to get it wrong, but there's this beauty. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to close with this. Jesus was out and about doing what Jesus does. And he gets word that his friend Lazarus was sick. And listen, he then waited a few days before he goes to see about Lazarus. And he comes back. He finally goes to where Lazarus is supposed to be sick. And they meet him and they say, Jesus, if you would have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus very calmly says, your brother will live. And Martha says, well, you know, I know he's going to live in the resurrection, but we wanted him alive right now. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about. They go and get Mary. Mary comes back. Jesus weeps for his friend, the suffering that he's been through. And the Bible says that Jesus walks up to the tomb of Lazarus and says, Lazarus, come forth. It's a beautiful picture. Somebody said Jesus didn't say, come forth, because everybody would have come forth. All right. And there'd have been a whole bunch of dead people coming back to life. So he said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus, The tradition of the day had him wrapped in grave clothes. And here he comes waddling out like a mummy. Read it. It doesn't say he waddled out, but that's what it tells you. He comes out. Now this is the beautiful part. He was dead. Now he's alive. And watch what happens. He says to the people around Lazarus, loose him and let him go. Lazarus was dead. Now he's alive. But Jesus said, now the people around you are going to help you get free.
Amen.
You're going to have some people around you in this. You're not going to go from dead to perfect.
Amen.
You're not going to go from dead to I never make a mistake. You're going to come waddling out of that grave of addiction and all the identity you've been trying to build. I'm the party guy. I'm this. I'm the tough guy. I'm the one with the money. I'm the one with the promotion. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You're going to waddle out, still wrapped in all that stuff. And Jesus says now to everybody else, loose him, get him untied, and set him free. Help him right now.
Hallelujah.
That's why, amen, that's why we have a church. He starts with us when we're dead, and he makes us alive. That's regeneration. He creates us anew. And when I recognize that, it changes the way I live my life. He saw me as worth his sacrifice. He looked at me and said, he's worth it. Knowing good and well by myself, I'm not worth it. But with his regeneration power, through the blood of Christ, by faith, my life has changed. My life is different. I would love to know what Jesus did with Lazarus the next few days. Lazarus is off in a different world when he was dead. And can you imagine the conversation? The Bible doesn't say this happened. I've wondered if he was like, cool, huh? I mean, it's just me and you. We're the only ones that know about this. He'd given him a peek into something to come. He's working in our lives this morning. And I'm gonna end with this. When you and I recognize what Jesus has done for us, it changes the way we live our lives. We stop trying to build an earthly identity, and we just lean into our heavenly identity. I'm a child of God. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I've been forgiven of my sins. I've been justified. I've been regenerated. I must be worth something. It makes me raise the level of my life and the way I live because I recognize my identity was changed. I'm now adopted into his family. I'm his son. I belong to him. I want somebody to get this. We walk around feeling terrible about ourselves. We walk around feeling like failures. We walk around wondering if we have enough. We feel like we're intruders in our own life. We don't feel good about it. And I'm saying to us this morning, our worth cannot come from earthly things. It has to come from our identity in Christ. Amen. Stand up with me, everybody. Let's stand up. If we recognize it, it's going to change. You're going to look yourself in the mirror and not try to worship. You're not going to try to worship the guy in the mirror. You're going to recognize that he's still flawed and he's still messed up, but he's worth something in the eyes of God. And God is still working. And God is still changing. And God is still delivering us. But you got to be in connection with other people so that you can get loosed. You can get set free because your life has been changed. I want you just to lift your hands with me this morning. Lord, we just again want to surrender to you. Lord, we know no matter how hard we work on earth, it's not enough. It's just not enough. But Lord, when we put our faith in you, all the things we thought were important, God, we recognize they're just background issues. They're not focal points of our life. Lord, if we focus on you, You tell us if we want to get to heaven, we just need to know you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we want to follow you down this path, and we know you bless us as we go down this path, and we put our trust in you. We put our faith in you. We stand on your promises and not our self-worth, and we just give you credit for every good thing that's coming. We honor you right now. We praise you right now. Lord, if there's anybody in the room, anybody online that doesn't know you, we pray today, right now, Lord, they would surrender to you, put their faith in you, believe in you as their Savior, give you all of their past, and allow you to change them right now for the rest of their lives and eternity. We put it in your hands, and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them some praise, everybody. Amen. I said close. I'm going to close three times. You heard me? I'm bringing it in for a landing, I promise. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about what you don't have here and start focusing on what you do have there. We get so caught up in focusing on what we don't have. I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not the other. And God said, your identity is in me. Surrender it to me and let me do something with your life. It's a daily thing. Surrender is a daily thing. I can't just surrender one time and go, I'm good. No, no, no. It's going to take them. Tomorrow I'm going to have to do it again. I'm going to have to live a lifestyle of surrender and let God do his work. God, thank you for what you're doing here at Grace Point. Thank you for your blessings. And we just ask you to help us this week. Let go of worshiping that mirror. And help us, God, to just focus on you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody.